All right, so we are holding on Payheim at base, first line of the wide line. Gemara says, Rish Lakish have signed ma'out of the Rabbanon. Rish Lakish one time was marking the caves where the Rabbanon, where the Chachamim are buried. Rashi says the reason was because he didn't want Koyanim should accidentally walk over them and become Tomei, and now you'd have a Takola that would happen through the Tzadikim. He wanted to prevent that. Rabbi Yaakov then gives another reason, also this way people would know where they are so they could dive in by then. Anyway. And when he came to the cave where Rav Chiya is buried, it was hidden from him. He couldn't find it. Cholashtaite, he felt bad.
Rav Chiya's cave?
Rav Chiya's cave was hidden from Rish Lakish. Cholashtaite, he felt bad. Almost says Rav Nishalim, like Pilpalti, Torah Kamoise, didn't I do Pilpul and Torah just as much as him? Why am I not on the level to be able to even find his burial place? Yotza Basko Amrloi, so Basko came out and answered him. Torda Kemoise Pilpalta. It is true. You learned Torda in depth just as much as he did. Torda Kemoise Lodi Basta, but you did not spread knowledge of Torda to the extent that he did. Where do we see that Rabchia spread knowledge of Torah? Like this. Ki avo minsu Rabchanina Rabchia. We find that when Rabchanina and Rabchia would argue about whose approach to Torah, to Avodah, to ensuring the continuity of the Jewish people, which one is better? So Rav Chanina says to Rav Chiya, you're arguing with me? Do you realize what I'm accomplishing? What I'm capable of accomplishing? Chas v'sholem, mishtach ha-Torah mi-Yisrael. If Chas v'sholem, the Torah were to be forgotten from the Jewish people, ma'adana lo me-pilpuli, I would be able to restore it. I'd be able to restore the knowledge of it based on my pilpul, based on my power of analysis. So Rav Chiya answers back, Rav Chanina, and you're arguing with me. I have an advantage over you. You're saying if the Torah is forgotten, you have the ability to restore it. I'm making sure it's not getting forgotten in the first place, which actually Marsha points out. It means, in other words, you have koyach versus poil. You have potential and you have actuality. Rav Chanina has the potential. Rav Chiya has the actuality. He's actually making sure that, yeah. And that's greater. What do I do to make sure the Torah is not forgotten? Azlina v'shadina kitna, I go and plant flax. The gadilna nishri, I weave nets out of the flax. Mitzayidna tovi, I use the net to trap deer. I give the meat of the deer to poor people. Then I make out of the skin, I make parchment. I make Megillus a parchment. And I write on the parchment the five chumashim. The Salikna Lamasa. Then I go to a town where there are no malamdim for the teacher, where there are no malamdim for the kids. I teach five children, each one I teach them one of the five chumashim. Umasnina shita yinuki shita sidri, and six other kids I teach them each balpeh, the six sdorim of the Mishnah, because this is before the Mishnah was written. When I tell them, I teach them for a while till they know it, and then I tell them, eventually I will return, I'm going to leave now to go to the next place, until I come back. Teach each other your chumash and teach each other your seder and mishnayos. So that way, eventually, all of them know what each other learned from me. And thus, v'avdilo the Torah, let the shtakach me Yisrael. Thus, I make it that the Torah is not forgotten by the Jewish people.
Well, don't we do the same?
That's the idea behind teaching kids. Yeah, that's the idea behind chinuch. There is, by the way, it's a marsha and a number of other mafarshim point out. You were asking what's the whole arichos over here about planting the flax, etc. He couldn't have gone and bought ready-made scrolls. Okay. So Marsha talks about it briefly, and other Mepharshim talk about it at greater length. The idea was he wanted to make sure that the whole thing, from beginning to end, is purely L'shem Shemayim, purely Al Taras HaKodesh.
Wow.
Because, like this, you, for example, you buy the skins or you buy the anything, you buy the nest or whatever ready-made, you have a certain ulterior motive, whether the seller wants to make a profit or whatever, that gets mixed into this. Like this, he wanted to make sure the whole thing, from beginning to end, is done in Kedusha, and that way it lasts. They say a famous vort about that. They say a famous vort in that connection from the Vilna Gaon, that if there were to be if there's a sefer that's printed 100% L'shem Shemayim, everything that went into it was done honestly and for the sake of the mitzvah and no other pniyas, then inevitably you learn from such a sefer, you'll always remember what you learn. And similarly, he says about a shul. If you have a shul which is built completely honestly and completely l'shem shemayim and everything, you daven in such a shul, inevitably you will have kavana. So this is what Rav Chiya was trying to accomplish. This way, he's doing his chinuch completely al taras hakodesh. Every detail of it is done in kedusha, and that way it lasts. And thus we find that Rebbe says how great are the works of Chiya. Matter of fact, we learned this Gemara in Ksubas as well. And we learned over there that actually the Gemara mentioned over there, we said that before Rebbe passed away, he appointed Rav Hanina the next Rosh Yeshiva. The question is, why not Rav Chiya? Rav Chiya, l'chora, is greater. One answer in the Gemara is because Rav Chiya was busy with this kind of thing, Rebbe figured, I'm not going to take him away from that and appoint him Rosh Hashiva. Better we should continue with his Kamak Dolem Maisei Chiya to go and teach, to go and restore the knowledge of Torah by the children. That's more important than being the Rosh Hashiva.
And of course, he was restoring it after the Korban.
This is 100-odd years after the Korban, yeah.
Right.
As a matter of fact, yeah, there's actually a Gemara in Sukkah that says that originally when the Jewish people came up from Babel, they were forgetting the Torah, and Ezra came from Babel and restored it among the Jewish people. Later on, Hillel came from Babel and did the same thing in his time, and later on, Rav Chiya came and did that from Babel and did the same thing in his time.
From Babel.
Each of those three came from Babel. Rav Chiya
was from Babel.
Rav Chiya was from Babel, yeah.
And Rebbe was from Eretz.
Rebbe was from Eretz Yisrael.
But they were friends. Because
Rav Chiya was Rebbe's town. Yeah.
It's amazing that the
Torah
was saved from
Lavo. Yeah. Okay, onward. Let's continue. So when Rebbe said that Tamak Doyle Maisei Chiya, so Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi asked him, do you mean that what Rabbi Chiya is doing is even greater than what you're doing? So Rebbe says yes. Then Rabbi Shmuel asks, Afilu Me'aba, do you mean to say that what Rabbi Chiya is accomplishing is even greater than my father, than Rabbi Yossi? And Rebbe tells him, Chas v'shalom, loy tehei kazois v'Yisrael, such a thing should never be said among the Jewish people. Which, by the way, Maharsha points out, that was a great level of humility on Rebbe's part, because there's actually a Gemara in Shabbos that implies the other way around. Rabbi Yossi was kaddish v'tahor, he was very careful, he never looked at his milah, which is a high level of tznius. Rebbe was even greater, he never put his hand below his waistline. So in that sense, Rebbe himself is greater than Rabbi Yossi. And yet, he's saying that what Rav Chiya accomplishes is greater than me. But to say that he's greater than Rav Yossi, that not. It shows Rebbe's humility.
But the Ashkafa was supposed to say, except Rav Chiya was teaching children.
It's a different kind of thing, right.
Well,
the point,
what did
the point
Rav
is that Rav Yossi, we find in the Gemara in Shabbos that he was a very holy person. He says on himself, I never in my life looked at my milah. I never looked at that area of my body because it could lead to improper thought. Rebbe, it says over there, was even greater. He never put his hand down below his waist so that there's no possibility of hearing.
That's great.
Okay. The point is, in other words, that when Rebbe is saying that Rav Chiya is greater than me, but not to say that he's greater than Rav Yossi, that amounts to saying, in other words, Rav Yossi is greater than me, which is the opposite of what we see from that Gemara and Shabbos. That shows Rebbe's humility. Okay. Amar Rav Zeira. Continuing on this topic of Rav Chiya's greatness, Rav Zeira says, last night I saw Rav Yossi Rav Chanina, one of the Amiroim, in a dream.
My question to you, what is greatness? To perfect yourself or to...
It's different kinds of things. It's different kinds of things. The point still remains. The point is not how we compare Rav Chiya versus the other two. The point is that Rebbe is saying Rav Chiya is greater than me, but not necessarily that he's greater than Rav Yossi, which implies that Rav Yossi, therefore, is greater than me. But in Kedusha, at least, we find that Rebbe... And maybe, but whatever. The point is, Rebbe was greater. That's why he's called Rabbeinu HaKadosh. And yet, we see that he considers himself less than Rebbe.
But in what,
that's the point.
In
Kedusha, in personal Kedusha.
No, this is the same Rebbe Yossi.
This is the same Rebbe Yossi. Yeah. Hey, no, this next one, Rebbe Yossi Chanina, is one of the Amidot.
Yeah, but Rebbe Yossi.
Yeah, the son of the Rebbe Yossi is the son of the regular Rebbe Yossi in Mishnah. Yeah.
So we don't have a clear answer to the question.
We have an answer that Rebbe was greater in Kedusha than Rebbe Yossi. But here in our Gemara, he is implying that Rebbe Yossi is greater than me. You might say that Rav Chiya is greater than me, but you can't say that he's greater than Rebbe Yossi, implying that at least between me and Rebbe Yossi, we have a hierarchy. Rebbe Yossi is greater and I'm less. And we see from that Gemara and Shabbos that it was the other way around. So, Amar Rav Zeira, Emesh Nidoli Rav Yosef of Chanina. Amar Tiloi, so I asked him, Etzel Miata Takua, who are you placed next to in Gan Eden, in Yeshiva Shalmaila? Amar Etzel Rav Yechanan. I'm sitting next to Rav Yechanan, because Rav Yechanan was his Rebbe. Rav Yechanan Etzel Mi, he says Etzel Rav Yanai. Rav Yana etzel mi, etzel Rav Chanina. Rav Chanina etzel mi, etzel Rav Chia. Amarti loy, so Rav Zera says, I said to him in a dream, ha'itachin, you have to have people between Rav Yishma, between Rav Yechanan and Rav Chia. Rav Yechanan etzel Rav Chia loy, doesn't Rav Yechanan deserve to be next to Rav Chia? Amali, so he answers me, ba'asav is cooking the nuro v'urin de'esha, in a place where you have sparks of fire, and where you have fiery sparks and flaming fire, meaning by Rav Chia, man ma'ayo barnat kolakaman. Who would even think of bringing Barnacha? Barnacha literally means the son of the smith, but that was Rabbi Yechon's full name, is Rabbi Yechon Barnacha. Who would bring in the son of the smith to there? In other words, it's far beyond even Rabbi Yechon's level. Marshall explains the vote is based on what we just said, that Rabbi Chia is greater than Rabbi Chanina, who was Rabbi Yechon's Rebbe, in that Rabbi Chanina was great pupil of Torah. He was great in his deep understanding of Torah to the extent that he could have restored the whole thing if it was forgotten. And Rabbi Yochanan continued in that same way also. But Rabbi Chia is even greater than that. So Marshall says, in the sense that we said before, the figure of speech, therefore, is like this. When you have, all you have is, let's say, for example, you need to start enlarging a fire, you need to make it burn better, you bring in a smith and he blows on it with his bellows and gets it to increase in size. Once you already have a roaring fire over there, you don't need the smith over there. Therefore, the nimshal is, in other words, once you have Rav Chia over there, you don't need Rav Yochanan's method of Torah learning in proximity to Rav Chia. You already have a roaring fire over there, you don't need the smith to do anything more with it. Mm. Yeah. And Rav Chaviva says that another chacham named Rav Chaviva Bar Surmaki told me the following story. I saw once a certain Talmud chacham who Eliyahu HaNavi used to regularly visit him. In this Talmud chacham, in the morning his eyes looked nice, they looked normal. That evening they looked like they had been burnt in a fire. I'm really my eyes. So I asked him, what happened to your eyes? But Amali says like this. The Amri Lel Eliyahu, this Talmud Chacham says, I said to Eliyahu, Achli li Rabbanan kisauki b'mesivta d'rakia. Please show me the Chachamim when they go up to the Mesivta d'rakia. They're in their respective places in Gan Eden, but they go just like down here on earth, they would travel to the Beis Medrash to learn. In Lamaila and Gan Eden, they do the same kind of thing. They travel to a higher level, to Mesivta d'rakia, to learn Torah. Show me how things look when they're traveling there. Amali, he says to me.
Why did he ask that?
Yeah, he wanted to see. He wanted to get an idea how they're having neshamas are being elevated.
Like they were peeping in the
room. What yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Amali, so he says to me, "B'chulu matis leis fine. You can look. You can gaze at any of them. Levar migu hauka did Rav Chia delay to stackle day, except for the chair of Rav Chia, the sedan chair, kind of like a chair carried on people's shoulders. You cannot stare at it. My simanayu. So okay, how am I going to tell the difference? He says, "B'chulu azi malachik isalki v'nasi. With all of them, you have malachim go along with them to bring them up and down. Levar migu hauka did Rav Chia diminakshe solik, except for Rav Chia's chair, which goes up and down on its own." Because he, so to speak, he has, one of the Mephoshim says, so to speak, he has the Shechina, the Chvoidu of Atme accompanying him. That's why you shouldn't look, because you're not supposed to gaze at the Shechina. Kilo Yurani Adam Bechoy. That's the same reason why we don't look at the Kohenim when they're Duchening, and why you're not supposed to stare at the rainbow, etc. Because these are all a certain Gilu Shechina. One interesting thing, they say, why does Rav Chia Zoche to that? The fact that he went to all that work that we said before, doing all the work to teach these kids on his own without having anybody else's help, his chus in Gan Eden, therefore, is that he also can move around independently on his own. He's higher. And Chassidus also talks about the idea. All the other ones need to be assisted by Malachim in the sense they're still, like, they have a certain relationship to the Malachim, sort of, and they still kind of need the Malachim. Rav Chia is far beyond that. He doesn't need he has nothing to do with the Malachim. He's far beyond that level. So this Talmud Chacham continues, I couldn't hold myself back, and I stared at, I gazed at his chair. Also, tre butiti de nura, two sparks of fire, two flashes of fire came out. They hit that person, meaning himself. And they blinded his eyes. Then he continues, the next day I went and davened by the cave, by the caver of Rav Chia, Amina, and I said, I doth teach the Mishnayis, meaning the Brises of yours. You composed the Tosefta parallel to the Mishnah, and I teach Rav Chiya. Yeah, the famous Tosefta, the famous Mishnah, the famous Braita of Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia. And I constantly learn those and teach those. Which therefore, Marshall says, therefore, in other words, I make it that you're as if you were still alive, because the source of Dovid Beis Bekeber, the lips of a Talmid Chacham continue to move every time his Torah is quoted, and Ben Yehoyada adds, therefore, it's not appropriate, therefore, that I should be on that Sumo Koshet Kemet, a blind person is like a dead person, and sure enough, Vitasoi, and I was healed. So Tosfos asked if he was healed, why did his eyes look burnt? Tosfos says, either, okay, they fine, he got healed. So Tosfos gives two answers. One is that yes, his eyes were healed, his vision returned, but still it looked burnt, and you know there were still scars, and still looked burnt. Just he had his sight back at least. The other answer Tosfos says is maybe when this Rav Chaviva Bar Surmaki saw him was before he had a chance to go to Rav Chiya's cave. So at that point his eyes looked like they had been burnt out. Later on when he went to Rav Chiya, then he was completely healed. Another story about
Rav Yosef was blind.
Rav Yosef was blind indeed. Yeah. Another story involving
the same reason.
No. Another story involving Rav Chiya. Eliyahu have a shiach the mesiv to the Rebbe. Eliyahu Anovi used to regularly visit the yeshiva of Rebbe. Yom Echad Reish Yachav. One day it was Rosh Chodesh. Nogalei v'lei osa, and it was getting late, and Eliyahu hadn't shown up. Omalei, so when he finally did come, Rebbe asked him, "My time in Nogalei Lamar? How come you were so late?" Omalei. Nogalei
Lamar.
Nogalei means it got dark. It got dark. It was, yeah. So why are you so late? Amalei. So Eliyahu answers him. Adu kimna la Avraham, because I'm very busy on Rosh Chodesh. I have to wake up Avraham, umashine yadeh, and wash his hands. Tzadikim are not really dead. Tzadikim are mitzvahs and kruim chaim. So it's like he's sleeping rather than dead. You wake up from sleep. You wash negovaser. So I have to wash him negovaser. Umatzli, and he davens. Umagninale, and then I have to lay him back down to rest. V'chein liyakov. I'm very busy. It takes a long time to do all this.
No,
we're talking about the three of us. The question is, well, look, minu b'hadi adoni. So Rebbe asked him, why not just wake them all three up at the same time, and you'll save yourself a lot of time? The answer is savri, because in Shemayim they don't let me do that, Eliyahu says, because they figure takfi b'rachmi, the three of us, if they daven together, will be so powerful in davening together and in begging for rachmim from the Eibishter, u'maisi le'le Mashiach v'le zibne, and they'll bring Mashiach before the time that's appropriate for him to come, when the world's not completing this barrier yet. The Mashiach, Papashtos, which one? Oh, you mean Mashiach and Yosef, Mashiach and David? I don't know. What? You mean Mashiach and Yosef, maybe? I don't know. Could be. Why?
Definitive Mashiach.
Yeah.
Which is Ben David.
Yeah, B'chora. Why? Okay, the question is, why only on Rosh Chodesh? No. So why only on Rosh Chodesh?
Right.
So Tamar Shah says, because Rosh Chodesh specifically is associated with the renewal of the Jewish people. We say in Kiddush Levana, right. Therefore, Rosh Chodesh is a particularly appropriate time for this kind of thing. And one of the other Mephoshim gives a different explanation. Also, Rosh Chodesh is, we say in the Haftorah of Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Midei Chodesh B'Chodshei, or Midei Shabbos B'Shabbatei, is when everybody's going to come to prostrate themselves before Hashem. So therefore, it's like a time. The point is that Rosh Chodesh is an extra special time when it's all of us are davening together. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we're also alive in this world all at the same time also. Does that mean that we're more powerful in the next world than now?
They lived 15 years together. Abraham passed away when Yaakov was 15. Yeah. Okay. But Okay. So Rebbe asks Eliyahu, "Yesh dugmasin ba'olam hazeh? Is there anybody like that whose tefillos are as powerful like that who's living nowadays in this world?" Amalei, he says, "Ikir Rav Chiya banav." Yes, Rav Chiya and his sons Yehuda and Chizkiyah are on that level. Goza Rebbe Tanis. So the Rebbe declared a Tainis, a Tainis Tzibur, Achsinu l'Rav Chiya Banav, and he brought down Rav Chiya and his sons to be the Shliach Tzibur. In those days, Tosfos explains that it used to be, on a Tainis Tzibur, you would have three people daven by the Omer. You'd have the main Chazan, and you'd have two assistants. Like we find by Moshe Rabbeinu in the War of Amalek, where he's davening over there, and Aaron and Hur are holding up his arms. So here you have Rebbe and his two sons assisting him.
What do you know what the assistants did during the davening?
No idea. What? Rav Chiya, did I?
Rebbe.
Rebbe, I meant Rav Chiya, yeah. Yeah. So he comes to, in Chazor HaShas, he says, Mashav HaRuach, and the wind starts blowing. He said, Morud HaGeshem, and it started raining, showing, in other words, that they... Yeah, you say that in that order. Then when he got to the end of the bracha and he was saying Machaya Mesim, Rogash Alma, all of a sudden there's a huge noise and a huge tumult in the world. Amri, there's about to be Tchias Mesim. Now, Tosfos asked, what about earlier in the bracha? Earlier in the bracha, we say Machaya Mesim, Menachem, Menabim. So Tosfos answers over there, it's Tchias Mesim that happens through Tau, so it's not just the end of the bracha, we're just in Machaya Mesim without anything, without specifying anything, shows that it means, you know, the kind of Tchias Mesim where you don't need anything else, you don't need the Tau Shal Tchia or anything. The Ritva gives a different answer. The Mechaya Mesim, Rachem and Rabim, that we say earlier in the bracha, is not talking about Tchias Mesim of Lassid Lavi. It's talking about when a person is near death, when he's you expect that he's going to die, and nevertheless, sometimes the Eibishter does a nest and revives him. The Mechaya Mesim at the end of the bracha means the actual Tchias Mesim. So now, when he said that,
is it a question or a haskara?
It's a haskara, but the point is, so is Mashav Baruch Merda Geshem, and yes. Amri Barakia, so they said in Shemayim, Man Goli Razia Ba'alma, who told the secret in the world, who gave it away, that Rabchia and his sons have this power of Tefillah? Amri Elio, so they said it was Elio. Afyuhu Elio, Machiu Shikin Pulsi Denura. So they brought Eliyahu and gave him 60 Malkus of fire. Marsha says, why 60? He says, the same way as the base, down here on earth, Beis Din gives 39. Why? Because a person first becomes chayev for punishment in Beis Din at age 13. So you give 3 for each year. In Beis Din Shamayim, they don't punish a person until he's 20. 20 times 3 is 60. Yeah. Also, so then Eliyahu had to come and fix
it. How come it's 13 years?
Because the Eibishter judges differently than the Beis Din Shamayim. Because the Eibishter goes according to a person's thoughts also. A person's thoughts are not fully developed at 13. Okay. Also, Idmilahu Kedubah Ben Denura. So Eliyahu came down like in the form of a fiery bear, of a fiery bear, Al Benayu Bataudinu, and he came between them and distracted them, and they weren't able to complete the davening. Why a bear? Marshall says because a bear is the symbol of Persia. The metaphor was it's not yet time for the Persian Empire with its power of taxation and whatever over the Jewish people to be over yet. Therefore, don't try to rush things. The Eibishter has his plans. And you can't interfere, basically.
Weren't we in Golas Rome?
We are in Golas Rome, but it depends. There's actually the Farshim and Daniel talk about that it has two different components. There's the Edom component and the Yishmael component. So yeah, you know. Another story. Shmuel Yachina after the Rebbe Haba. Shmuel Yachina, this is the famous Shmuel from throughout Shas, it was called Yachina because he was an expert on the Yareach, on the motions of the moon and all the planets. Yeah. The Gemara mentions in a few places that he was expert in these things. So, after the Rebbe Haba, he was Rebbe's doctor. Cholash Rebbe Be'ene, one time Rebbe had an eye infection or some kind of a problem with his eye. Omalei, so Shmuel tells him, Imri Loch Sama. Fine, let me drip some medicine into it. Let me fill up the eye with medicine. Omalei says, Lo Yachilna, I can't. I'm too weak. My eye is too sensitive. Okay, he says, Eshtel Lachamishta. Fine, I'll rub it on the outside. Omalei Lo Yachilna. And Rebbe says, I can't take that either. Have a moisted lebe gufsa de samani tusi besadye. So what Shmuel did is he put the medicine in a tube and put it under Rebbe's pillow. The itzi, and Rebbe was healed by that. The medicine was so powerful it was able to go through the tube. The vapors of it, the fumes of it, were able to go through the tube and through the pillow into Rebbe's head, into his eyes, and heal him. Habakum etzdai Rebbe lemismachay. So now Rebbe was very bothered by the fact he was trying hard to give him smicha. He's such a chacham, he deserves to have smicha. But he's also a great Talmud Chacham. But you see also that he's such a Chacham in this. Also, he should have smicha. He should be able to have the title Rebbe. V'loy have a Mistaya Milsa, but it wasn't working out. There was a time of Tzoris, so the Chachamim weren't gathering together, whatever. There was a whole ceremony, the smicha. But Marsha points out the advantage of giving Shmuel smicha would have been, like this Shmuel is an expert in Dine Mominus. If he had smicha, among other things, it would mean he could also have the reshus to judge dine iser v'heter. questions of kashrus and other such things. And as a matter of fact, Marshall says the fact that we see from our Gemara that Shmuel never got such smicha may explain why the halacha throughout Shas is generally like Shmuel and Dinim Mominus, because he dealt with those all the time. But because he didn't have smicha, he never dealt with Dinim Isur Beheter, and therefore the halacha is rarely like it. Usually the halacha is like Rabbi. Rav Nachman was a Talmud of Shmuel, but when you have a machloek that's Rav and Shmuel, usually the halacha is like Rav and Dinei Isur V'Hefter, and like Shmuel and Dinei Mominus. Marshal says that's why. Okay. Amalei, so Shmuel says to Rebbe, Loi l'tzarmar, don't feel so, Rebbe, don't feel bad that you weren't able to give me smicha. It's actually something, it's min ha-shamayim. The Didi Chodzi B'Sifra of the Adam Arishin, because I actually saw the Sefer of Adam Arishin, the Sefer that it says that that Sefer told us Adam, that Hashem showed Adam Dodo V'Chacham of Dodo V'Dosh of every generation and its leaders and its Chachamim. So Shmuel says, I saw that Sefer, Uktive, and it says in it, Shmuel Yachina, Chakim Yiskri, V'Rebbe Lo Yiskri, Shmuel Yachina will be called Chacham, he'll be called a wise man, V'Rebbe Lo Yiskri, but he will not be called Rebbe, because he won't get Smicha, but also the Rebbe, Al Yodei Tehei, and Rebbe's healing will take place through him. So Shmuel says, I saw that in the Sefer of Adam, therefore, yeah, it's obviously Min HaShemayim, that's the fact. He saw it in a dream. In a dream, I think, before I should say. Also, he says, it's called the Sefer of Adam Edition. No, it's not Sefer Yetzirah. No, that's the Sefer that Adam composed. This is a Sefer that Hashem showed Rashi, look in the Rashi, Sefer of Adam Edition, top line, Sher Ora Kodesh Baruch Hu, Sefer of Dodov, Dosha of Dodov, Chacham. Hashem showed Adam the whole history of every generation and its Talmud Chachamim, its Darshanim, its Chachamim.
Hashem showed it to him.
And continuing with another quotation from that Sefer of Adam Rishon, Rebbe v'Rab Nosson Sof Mishnah, Rebbe and Rab Nosson are the end of the Mishnah, meaning Rashi describes, up until that point you had, everybody has their own version of what they're learning in the Mishmadush, and everybody, there's no established Masechta, so at least for the most part not. Rebbe, Rebbe and Rav Nosson edited together all the material and put it into the form of the Mishnayos that we have it, deciding which versions should be accepted and which ones not, etc. So they're the end of the Mishnah. Rav Ashi, Ravina, Soi Hora, and Rav Ashi and Ravina are the end of Hora in the sense that the end of the Gemara, basically. Similar kind of thing, Rashi says, that up until their time, there wasn't a fixed Gemara. Whenever a question came up in the Bismedrish or whatever, everyone would give their opinion on it, and they'd discuss back and forth. Ravina and Ravashi assembled it into the Gemara that we have, and put in the editorial. So he saw this in the Sefer of Adam Arishon. Yeah. The Simonach, and your Simon, to remember this, is the... The pasuk says, "Ad ovei el mikdashei kel avinu l'achrisam." The pasuk and tilim, until I come to the holy places of Hashem, I will understand their end. So, mikdashei, the mikdashei is a remez on Rav Ashi, the Shin Yud. I once thought, actually, based on this, it might be that the name was actually supposed to be pronounced Ashay with a tsere, because then it fits better with Mikdashay. Yeah, I also once thought in that case, actually, it could very well be maybe his real name was Osher, and Ashi is just a nickname for it. Interesting idea I once had, anyway. And Avina stands for Ravina. That's Ravina is actually Rav Avina. And Lachrisam means the end, that they're the end of Hora.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's also either Marsha or Ben Yoyada, I don't remember which one, also, I think it's Marsha, says that also Mikdashay also has a double meaning. It can also represent Rebbe, who is the Rebbeinu HaKadosh. Rebbeinu HaKadosh. So
what are the people who say that the Savarayim really wrote the Gemara and it wasn't Rebbeinu HaKadosh?
What
do they do
with it? What it is
people who say that who
wrote it? The Rabban and Savaroy, yeah, the Amaroy. There is a major argument among Rishonim, in particular Rashi versus the Rambam, was that when did Rebbe write the Mishnah or did he just compose it Baal Peh? And the same thing you can talk about Ravina and Ravashi. Did they write down the Gemara or did they just fix the text orally? If you say they did, then it may well be that Rabban and Savaroy who first wrote it down. But there is also
he dictated it
so much, but they continued to learn it Baal Peh, but in a fixed format, and then the Sadar Rabban and Savaroy of the next generation wrote it down.
Because they memorize things anyway,
yeah.
So that this is how
to memorize. Okay. Amar Rav Kahana, Ishtoi Lihi Rav Chama, the son of the daughter of Chasa, Chama, told me the following story. Rabba Bar Nachmeni, Agav Shmodo Noch Nafshi. Rabba Bar Nachmeni, this is the famous Amorah Rabba, passed away because of a shmad, because of persecution by the government. What
this
happened?
This is the famous Rabbah.
The famous Rabbah, Rashi points out, the one who argues with Rabbi Yosef throughout Shas. The Amora Rabbah.
The Rabbah who came before Rabbi Yosef.
The Rabbah who was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef.
He was the Rosh Hashiva before?
He was the Rosh Hashiva before Rabbi Yosef, yeah, but they were contemporaries. Yeah, the Gemara tells us in Brachas and in Horius that they were both candidates for the position, but
yeah.
Rabbi Yosef stepped aside in favor of Rabbah, yes.
He stepped aside because he saw
that he's going to
do it
that
only
gonna,
for 2 years.
So this is that Rabbah.
And then he answered that question in Yavama, so no one could answer.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Okay. What happened? Ochlebe Kurtza Bemalka. They mastered on him. People mastered on him to the government. By the way,
on Rabbah.
There's a Gemara, but what did they master? We'll see in a second. But actually, it's interesting. There's a Gemara, I think, in Shabbos, where it talks about the importance of making a proper hesped for Talmid Chacham. Mm. So Abaye says to Rabbah, everybody in town hates you. Who's going to do the hesped when it comes time? And Abaye says, and Rabbah says, at least I have you and Rava Bar Chanan, my two top Talmidim. As long as you guys are there, then that's good enough for me. So we see that many of the people in town didn't like Rabbah. And in fact, Abaye points out someplace else in Shas that if you have a Rav, but the people in town like him, not necessarily does it mean he's doing a good job. So I care, it may mean he's not giving them Musa like he should. So therefore, Rabbah obviously was doing too good a job. Some people in town didn't like him, and yeah, one of them. Yeah.
So based on that, we don't do hespedim.
It's on Minig and Lubavitch not to do hespedim because you don't want to overpraise the person, and then it's going to cause in Beis and Shomaila, they're going to start checking, well, does he really deserve to have that said about him? So we make a spadim later on.
You can have it the other way around if you don't do it.
Fine. So we do later on at the end of the shiva or whatever. But yeah, it's different when the mitzvah is right there. Anyway, onward. So they mastered on him to the government. Amru, ikka chad gavra b'yodoy, there's a certain person among the Jewish people, to come about to tracer alpha gavra m'Yisrael, who is preventing 12,000 Jews, yarcha b'taifa b'sikva, 1 month during the summer, which is Tishrei, and 1 month during, or Nisan rather, and 1 month during the winter, which is Tishrei, mikarga d'malka, from the king's taxes. What happens? Everybody comes in Nisan and Tishrei to hear his drashas, to hear his teaching. So they're away from home. When the government officials, when the IRS comes to collect taxes, they're not there. And so therefore, he's preventing the king, the king's treasury is having a major loss from this.
You hear, Yoko?
So the king accepted by the way, I should mention before we continue with the story, we were talking about yesterday the distinction between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, how there was a period of time when Limud Torah in Bavel was on a lower level than in Eretz Yisrael. We said yesterday that's why Reb Zera wanted to forget the Gemara Bavli. This is an example of that. You see, at that time in Bavel there were persecutions, whereas in Eretz Yisrael at that time things were relatively quiet.
Good reason.
Yeah. Shodr Pristika the Malka Basre, so the king sent an official to catch him, and he couldn't find him. Orak v'ozo, and Rabbah started running away. He's running all over the place. He finally came back to Pumbedisa, and the guy ended up finding him in Pumbedisa. What happened? Ikla Pristika the Malka Lahu Shpiza the Rabbah, this official from the government ended up coming to the same inn where Rabbah was hiding out. Krivu Taka Kame, they brought out a tray with food for the official. Vashku Tre Kasi, and they gave him with the food 2 cups of wine or whatever. Vidayul Taka Kame, and then they removed the tray. Hoda Patsufil Achere, his face was turned around because he was attacked by shading. The Gemara tells us in Psachim, in the last paragraph of Psachim, that if you drink an even number of cups, then or you eat an even amount of various things, that can be dangerous for you. Shadim now have power to attack two cups, four. Yeah, the context is, the Gemara says, how do we drink 4 cups on Pesach? And one of the answers is Leil Shemori. We're protected from Mazikin. But anyway, the point is, ordinarily, drinking, the Gemara has a long discussion over there about the whole concept that having an even number of things is dangerous for you. So this guy drank 2 cups, and now he's in danger from the shadim. Omrele my nevedle. So now the people in the inn say to Rabbah, what should we do about him? Gavra de Malko, he's for it. He's an official of the king. It's not respectful to just leave him in a state like that. Amalahu, the rabbi tells him, Kribu takos lechame, bring back the tray in front of him, vashkiyu chad kosa, then give him one more cup to drink, vidayu letakam lechame, and then take away the tray, velitzi, and then he'll be healed. Because the Gemara explains over there, if you have to bring back the tray. If you just give him another cup, that won't combine with the other two cups to take away the danger. You have to bring back the tray, so it's a continuation, and then it'll work. Then he has three, and then that's it. Three is an odd number. And then he's good.
By going, must they all buy you
interesting thing you mentioned that, because I saw an interesting reference. Folakan, Rabbi Yoel's father, Yabod Al Chaim Tovim, has a sefer, you've probably seen it, Shmuel's Besikurim, with various stories about the Rebbeim, in particular many stories and vignettes from the Rebbe Rashab, because he was a Talmud in Temple Tzmimim. One of them is, a goy once comes to the Rebbe Rashab with a problem, his children are dying young, what should he do? The Rebbe Rashab tells him, asks him, how many beams, the number of beams in the roof of your house, is there an even number or an odd number? The guy says an odd number. The Rebbe Rashab tells him, either take away one or add one. You need to have an even number, and then you'll be okay. So the point is, he's saying, for Jews, we're saying that even numbers are dangerous. For Goyim Adarabah, the other way around, odd numbers are dangerous. So the question is, how does that fit with our Gemara? They talked about this in Heichal Baal Shem Tov a dozen or so years ago. One of the Balabatish answers that came up is maybe this official over here with a yid. There were Jewish officials in those days.
That's a nice Balabatish.
Anyway. Okay. Omar, so now that the it's of the Lehochi, so they did that for the guy, the Itzi, and sure enough, he was here. Omar, so now he said, maybe a diner to gather to cover in a hochahu. I realize based on this, the guy I'm looking for must be here. Nobody else other than Rabbah could have had the chochma to realize and to save me from that situation. So he started searching around the inn and he found him. Omar, so now he said, okay, azul nemehal. Fine, I'm going to leave here without arresting you. Even if they kill me, I won't, Lahu Gavra, that person, meaning himself, I still won't tell where you are. However, but if they beat me, if they torture me, Maglina, then I will tell, because I'm not going to be able to withstand that. Right, we find the Gemara in Ksubas that says that even Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, if Nebuchadnezzar had tortured them rather than throwing them into the fiery furnace, they would have bowed down to a statue. It's one thing to be killed, it's another thing to eat. So, a fuel came, so they brought Rabbah in front of him, and he put Rabbah in a room, and closed the door in front of him so he can't get out. This way he has a chance to go, he has a chance to get back, and then in this way, if they attack or torture him, he'll know where Rabbah is and he'll be able to tell. Barachme, so Rabbah Davin for Rahmanus, Parakashita, and a net happened, the wall fell down, and he ran away and got away to Agma. Agma actually isn't the name of a place, it means to a meadow, to a meadow or a swamp or something. Haba Yosuba Girdidikula, so now he's sitting on the stump of a palm tree, the Kagaris, and he's learning. Now, as Rabbah is sitting there and learning, famous story. They were having a machloikas in the base in Shalmaila, in the yeshiva Shalmaila. We know, like,
the government
was still looking for him, but now he's sitting there and learning. But meanwhile, in Shemayim, the following discussion is going on. We know in Baharas Kodemus Laseo Lavan Tami, we know a person develops a spot of tzaraas on their skin, and afterwards the hair in that area turns white, then the person is Tami. It says so in the Pasuk. What if the hair was white before the spot of tzaraas came? Tahor, then he's tahor. That white hair is not a siman of tumah. What about safek? What if there's a safek which came first? Hakadosh Baruch Hu emer tahor v'kula mesivta d'rakia amri tameh. The Eivishta says he's tahor, and the whole mesivta d'rakia says he's tahor. So of course the obvious question is, how are they arguing with the Eivishta?
Yes.
First of all, look, Torah love Shemayim. Okay.
But they are the Shemayim.
Okay.
The Eivishta is not the Shemayim. It's everywhere.
So there are a number of different answers that Mepharshim give, but I will tell you, without going into all of them, I will tell you there's a mimer in Lakuta Torah in Parshas Tazria, naturally, where the Alter Rebbe discusses the story in great detail.
Right.
The gist of it is, he explains over there, we specifically use the expression here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in many places in Chassidus, we explain, refers to the level of Sovev Kolamim. We know there's Mamala Kolamim, the energy of a Lakos that permeates the world, and each thing has its own proportional amount of it. And then there's Sovev Kolamim, which is beyond that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents Sovev Kolamim. Mesivta D'Rakia represents Mamala Kolamim. From their point of view, so therefore, represents Mamali Kalam, and represents the aspect of a course that pervades the world, wow. And that each part, each world has its own amount of a course. Silas has a lot, Riyah has less, etc., etc. So the Hakadosh Baruch Hu, who is Sovev Kolam, who represent the which represents Sovev Kolamin, who is beyond all the worlds, says. We mean over here, in other words, we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning a level of energy of Elokus, which is beyond the world, but still, as the Rebbe explains, and as the Rebbe also has a sikha on this, in Chelek Yudbeis, explains, Sovev Kolamin still has a certain connection to the world in the sense that it's Sovev, it's encompassing, implying it's not specific to each thing according to its level, but still, it's encompassing, implying that it has some relation to what it encompasses. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Tahor, because from that point of view, beyond the world, There's no concept of tumah. Nesivta the Rakiya says tameh because from their point of view, from a Mamali Kalam, and yes, some things are higher, some things are lower, some things are tameh, some things are tahor. So they're Mamali Kalam, and yes. The Amri, so they said man noichach. Who will be the one to resolve the argument? Noichach Rav Bar Nachmeni. We will have Rav Bar Nachmeni resolve the argument. The Amr Rav Bar Nachmeni, because we find Rav Bar Nachmeni said on himself, Ani yochid bin a goyim, Ani yochid ba'olos. I am unique in my knowledge of Nagoyim and in my knowledge of Olos. So therefore, nobody in his time knew more than him. The point is, though, in the Maimer it explains, and the Sikha that Rebbe explains in greater detail, that this meant, in other words, Rabba was able to reach a level higher than Mamale, higher than Sovev even. Something where the world B'chlal have no existence, have no Metzius at all. So therefore, they're both sides, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Nesivta Dirakiya, are both saying, let's appeal to a higher authority. He's Yachid. He's reaching the level of Yachid, which is even beyond Echad.
Yachid.
Shadrash Shlicha Batzrei.
Did anyone else reach that level?
Apparently not. Shadrash Shlicha Batzrei. So they sent Mir Nashamayim, they sent a Shliach to fetch him, to take his Neshama. Lo Havim Mati Malach HaMavis Mikra, but the Malach HaMavis couldn't touch him. Middle I have a pasuk pumim megirsa because his mouth was not stopping to learn, and just like we find by David HaMelech, that protected him. Yes, right. In the first page of Tanya, that's right. Yeah, tomorrow's Tanya actually is that where if Rabbah is saying on himself, I'm a Beinoni, could go in on a Beinoni, right. But he was constantly learning Torah, then what does it mean to be a Beinoni? Yeah. And that's, later on in Tanya, that's what Rabbi explains, that Rabbi may have thought, because I'm learning Torah all the time, therefore my Yetzer Hara never has a chance to assert itself. Doesn't mean it doesn't still exist. Anyway.
It is.
Learn kuntras in yonash al Torah chassidus. Chassidus is the oil that permeates all the other four parts of Torah, that permeates all the four parts of Torah and gives a chayus into them. Yeah. Okay. As this was happening, meanwhile, a wind started blowing and making noise among the reeds in this meadow. It made a noise that sounded like people are coming. Rabba thought it sounds like the noise of a troop of soldiers coming.
Where was that?
It's still in the meadow. He's hiding out over there, sitting on the stump. No, in some place in Bava, yeah. He's sitting on the stump in the meadow over there in the swamp, learning. He hears this noise, so he thinks it's a troop of soldiers. Omar, he says, Tenach nafshi dahu gavra, better let that person, meaning himself, pass away, v'lo yimasa b'yodad ha-machusa, rather than being handed over to the government. So, chiyavad konaycha nafshi, so as he was passing away, once he stopped learning for a second to make that declaration, then Omar, he calls out, tahar, tahar. The answer to the question. The Beis Din Shamayla was having this argument, tameh or tahar, he declares tahar, tahar. So what's the point of his declaration? The point is, again, going back to the Maimer and going back to the Sikha, is Rabbi is saying, Tahar from the point of view of Mamali Kalamin and Tahar from the point of view of Sovev Kolamin. From the point of view of Yachid, which is the level that Rabbi has reached, there's no place for it to be Tomei in either scheme of things, neither in the scheme of Mamali nor in the scheme of Sovev. Therefore, Tahar, he's saying that, Tahar, Tahar.
About himself?
No, about the din that they're arguing about. Yotas Bas Kova Omra and a Baskel came out and said, Ashrecha Rav Bar Nachmeni, Shagufcha Tahar, Vyatsa Nishmasa Matahar. How fortunate are you, Rav Bar Nachmeni, that your body is Tahar and your Neshama left you saying while you're saying the word Tahar. By the way, though, as far as the actual practical halacha, the Rambam Paskins know that it's Tomei. Tomei Misafik, but Tomei nevertheless. So they ask, why not? What happened to the story over here? So the text of Mishnah says, the text of Mishnah says like this. When Rabbah said this, Tohar, Tohar, his neshama is already leaving his body, he's half in Shemayim already. So yes, Turtle over Shemayim. I, the Eivishtah, says Tohar, and I, Rabbah, says, but the Eivishtah is Turtle over Shemayim. Rabbah is, his neshama is already leaving his body, he's already more in Shemayim than on earth. That's one answer. The Chassam Sofer gives a different answer. You don't even need that, he says. He says, think of it. How do we know this whole story? Nobody else was there with Rabbah in the swamp. How do we know the whole story? The Chachamim knew it was Ruach HaKodesh, or Eliyahu told it to them, or whatever. Same thing. Turtle over Shemayim. Fine, Rabbah said it when he was here on earth. But it was reported to us that he said this through Ruach HaKodesh or whatever, which you can't ask an according to. Nofel Piska Merakiyah Ber Pumbedissa. Continues the story. A note fell from Shemayim in Pumbedissa. That said, Rabbah Bar Nachmeni Nisbakesh B'Yeshiva Shemayla. Rabbah Bar Nachmeni was requested to come to Yeshiva Shemayla. Maral says it doesn't literally mean that a note fell down. It means that all of a sudden the Chachamim all felt in their hearts that that was the case, and therefore it was as if a note had fallen from Shemayim saying it explicitly. Nofku Abaya v'Rava v'Kula Rabbanon liYesokidei. So Abaya and Rava and the rest of the Chachamim went to take care of him, to bury him. Lo Havu Yadi Duchti, but they didn't know where he was. Ozul Agma, they came to this swamp. Chazut Tzipori v'Metalli v'Kaimi. They saw birds all flying around over one area keeping with their wings keeping themselves in one place in the sky and like forming a protective cover. Amri, so they said, Shmami no hasam hu. Oh, that must mean he's there. They're protecting him, that the sun shouldn't beat down on him and his body might decay or whatever.
The birds,
yeah. So they buried him and they made a hesed for 3 days and three nights. Nofel Piska, another note fell down from Shemayim that said,
should you wait?
Yeah, but they thought 3 days is enough. However, Nofel Piska, but a note fell down from Shemayim, called a Purish Yehe Ben Nidui. Anybody who leaves at this point deserves to be in Chayrim, because that's not enough. Safdu Shiva Yehemi, so they continued making a spadim for 7 days. Nofel Piska, l'chul abeis chem l'sholem, and then a note fell down that said, go to your homes in peace.
And before that, we didn't do Shiva?
No, where the Shiva goes back all the way to Yaakov, or Yosef did for Yaakov, you know, but they thought, the Gemara tells us in Moed Katan, Shlosha Lebechi Shiva, that there's 3 days for crying, and then the rest of Shiva is like a lesser level of, Hesped over here doesn't necessarily mean Hespedim, like the speeches and whatnot, it can also mean the crying and then wailing and whatever, so they thought 3 days, like usual. And the note from Shemayim told them for a tzaddik like Baba, that's not enough. Continues the Gemara. How who yom the noch napshe on that day when Rabbah passed away, Dalya Zapha, the Dori Lahu Tayar, a storm wind picked up and carried a certain Arab, Kirochiv Gamla, who as he was riding a camel, Mehai Gisad and how Tayar is an Arab. Yeah.
What is the word?
I don't know. The word Mishpah, like traveling around. I don't know. Anyway, Kirochiv Gamla Mahai Gisad Nahav Papa, as he was riding his camel on one side of the river Papa, Bashadi Bahak Gisad, the storm threw him down on the other side of the river. Omar, so the Arab says, Mahai, what's going on? The storm all of a sudden. Amrile, and he was told, Minashamayim, Noch Nafshid, Rabbi Manachmeni passed away. Which
this
what
Arab said?
This Arab was asked, and he got an answer, Minashamayim, I don't know. Why Taka? What's the storm wind got to do with that? Marsha says, because since we're saying that Rabbah passed away all alone and nobody knew where he was until they were led there by the birds, etc., that means when he first passed away, there was not a proper hesped for him. And the Gemara mentions in some other places that when a Tamar Chacham passed away and a proper hesped is not made for him, there's an extreme anger from the Eivishter in the world. So that manifested itself in the form of the storm.
Why does it have to be related with an Arab? What's the...
Because that's how it happened. Wait. Amar Lefanav, so the Arab says, Rabbeinu Shalom, Kulei Alma Didachu, the whole world belongs to you. V'Rabbah Bar Nachmeni Didach, and Rabbah Bar Nachmeni also belongs to you. At the Rabbah V'Rabbah Didach, you are Rabbah's friend, so to speak, and he is your friend. I understand that you're upset, so to speak. Amaya Machamachai V'Sleila Alma. But why are you destroying the world on his behalf? One of the Mephoshim says, the point that he's saying is, I understand, you're his friend, and therefore you feel like you should stir up the whole world because Haytach and he wasn't given the right cover. But Rabbah is also your friend. Would he want you to destroy the whole world because of him? No. So then in that case, let it be. And sure enough, Noch Zappa, the storm calmed down. Okay. One more.
Welcome
okay.
back,
Yidden.
Yes. Okay. There has to be a reason for that.
Why Dafka Taya? I don't know. Maybe it shows that even a low down person like that, still, you know, he's made to understand that Avishta wanted Avishta to be clear in all strata of Maisa Bereishis what's going on over here. So even a low down guy like him, yeah.
Sure.
Now, we started early on in the Sugya a couple of days ago, we started talking about Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon and Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosi and their size. We said they were very large. We had the whole thing about that. That led us to one thing, which led to another thing, which led to another thing. Now we're getting back to, the Gemara is going to get back to one more incident involving one of the other Chachamim who was also large. Rabbi Shimon ben Chalakta Baal Bosahav. Rabbi Shimon ben Chalakta was very fat. Yoimachad have a chamimale, so one day he was hot. Have a solid v'yosav ashinid the Torah, so he went up and then sat on the peak of a mountain where it would be cooler. Amalal brate, he says to his daughter, Biti hanifi alive manifa, fan me with a fan, v'ani etin lich kikr nered, and I will give you, as a reward, I will give you bundles of nered. Nered is a spice, we say in Pidgin Maktoros every day, shiburlus nered. So you fan me and I'll give you that as a reward. In English it's called nard, spike nard, whatever, I don't know. Remember, it's some kind of spice. Abahochi nosh vazika. As he was saying that, a wind started blowing, and now he didn't need her to fan him. Omar, he says, kama kikrin de nerd lamori dichi. Imagine how many bundles of nerd should go to the master of this one, to the Eivishter who brought this wind. Look how grateful we should be to him, that instead I was willing to pay for her to fan me. I saw an interesting thing from Amnachem Chernobyl, where he explains a deeper idea behind this. When we say he was Baal Bosser, it also means literally he was the master of the flesh. He had control over the Gashmias. He had control over his Gashmias. He wanted his daughter to fan him, which Hanifi literally means like to wave, like you pick up and wave a carbon or whatever. He wants her to help him reach to a higher level from which he will be able to do more of a disabiruri. And he tells her, if you do that, I will give you nerd, which nerd is Meloshin Yerida. I will give you more of the, I will be able to extract more of the fallen sparks of Kedusha that are in the world and give them to you. Then the wind blew, so like Hashem picked him up to that level on his own, and he said, look how, I'm so grateful to the Eivishter that he picked me up to that level where I'm taka able to do that, where I'm taka able to be mevarer more of the Gashmiastika world. Now back to Halacha Gemara for a little bit. The Mishnah had said, Akol Kamina Gamadina, that when you hire workers, everything has to be Kamina Gamadina. The question is, Akol Lasu Yamai, what does Akol come to include? It comes to include a place where the minig is, before they go to work, they first have sandwiches. Michra chrifto literally means they wrap bread, like they make like a tortilla or something. Yeah. Anapka, and they drink anapka, which is some kind of alcoholic drink. So suppose, for example, that the balabas, the boss, the one who hired them, says, I want you to come early and I will bring it to you later. They're able to tell them, the minig ha'makom is not like that, you don't have the ability to do that. Meaning, Tosfos says two different explanations what it means. One is that if he says, I want you to come, usually you would only have to come here at Netzach Hama. I want you to come at Aloysa Shachar. I will bring you your bread and your anapka and whatever, and this way you don't have to take off time from work. They're entitled to tell them no. The minig ha'makom over here is we only have to start at Netz, and the minig ha'makom is we're entitled to eat and drink, to have a little chabaisin before we start work. Therefore, we're going to come at Netz, and then you provide that then. Or, Tosfos says, the other possibility is that let's say the minig is they eat it in the balabas's house before they start work. So he tells them, I don't have it available right now. I don't have it ready yet. You go start work. I'll bring the stuff out to the field to you. They're able to tell them, no, that's not, we insist on eating it now in the house, because I call coming to Gamadin. Then the Mishnah had said, Maisa b'Rabbi Yechon ben Matthia, that it happened once with Rabbi Yechon ben Matthia, Sha'amul b'Nait Seir Tzachar v'Gomen, that he told his son to go hire workers, and the son went and said, I will give you food, and then the father tells him, that's no good, you're going to owe them now to Suda Shlomo B'Shaita, or even more than that. Question is, Maisa Lister, is that a Maisa that contradicts what we said before? We just said, HaKol Kaminigam Adina, what is Rabbi Yechon ben Matthia worried about? The Minigam Adina isn't to give them Kesudas Shlomo B'Shaita. The answer is, Chasuri Mechsudah. The Mishnah is missing words. What it means is like this. The impotent, Lahen Mezonis. However, it's true, HaKol Kaminigam Adina. However, if you tell them, I'm going to provide you meals, Riba Lahen, then it implies that you're going to go beyond the normal Minigam Adina. Because otherwise, you didn't have to mention it. It's automatically included. The very fact that you said, I'm going to give you meals, implies that you're telling them something extra. And indeed, we find the story with Rabbi Yechon ben Maaseh. And he went and said, we will give you food. When it comes to his father, even if you were to give them like the Suda of Shloime in his good time, you wouldn't have accomplished what you owe them, because they are the children of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, and they deserve even more than that.
And that goes beyond the Medina.
And that goes beyond even what Shloime accomplished, which is what the Gemara is going to deal with, and we'll take up tomorrow, Beis Hashem, what was greater about Shloima's meal than the meal that Abraham served the three guests. Or no, the other way around, what was greater about the meal that Abraham served the three guests than the meals of Shloima. We'll talk about that tomorrow, Beis Hashem.